What's up, everybody? Welcome to Smoking Weed and Talking Mixed Martial Arts. This is episode number 48. My name is Jared. I'm here, as always, with my buddy Paul.
What's up, guys?
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. On today's episode, we're going to be taking a look back to UFC Mexico. We're going to take a look ahead to the upcoming UFC Denmark card. We are going to dive into the world of professional boxing with some interesting dynamics going on there. And we're going to talk about a few other topics as well. But first, we're going to get started with our weed of the week. Smoke weed every day. Now, on today's episode, we've got a few different kinds of weed, plus we are trying out some CBD. Now, the CBD products we got today, we got from Hemp Fusion. You can learn more about them at hempfusion.com. They are a full-spectrum hemp company. So, basically, what that means is a lot of places that do CBD, they use an isolate, which is kind of like the comparison would between a full-spectrum and an isolate would be like, say, a vitamin C tablet versus an orange. So, these here, we've got their stress capsules, their sleep capsules, and a CBD hemp extract rub for pain in muscles and joints. We're going to be trying these throughout the week, me and Paul. And next week, we'll let you know what we think about them and Hemp Fusion as a whole. Now, for our herb this week, we got three different kinds. Paul is puffing on a joint of some banana. Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. This is head cheese, right?
The head cheese.
Yeah, we got the head cheese, which is, man, I love this strain.
Yeah, it's got a good flavor to it.
It does. Shit. It's got a good flavor. It's packed with a lot of terpenes, and it's got one of my favorite strains as its parent. Let me hit this real quick.
Yeah, go.
It's got that 707 headband as one of its parents. Those are one of my favorite sativas.
Yeah.
And it's crossed with UK cheese, and that's where we get head cheese from. Now, they call it a 707 headband. They used to call it that because it was such a strong sativa, it would make it feel like you were wearing a headband around the top of your head, okay. Around your eyes. Yeah. I always thought that was fucking dope. One of my favorite strains. That shit does taste good. We've also got some Banana OG, which is a hybrid cross of OG Kush and banana. Pretty obvious mixture what that was going to be, right?
Just throw a banana in there.
And then as far as our continuing on our theme of rare weed, we have some pink dosi dough, which I managed to come up with a little bit of this week. First time I've come across this strain. I found one place in town I could get it from. Hardly any information out there on the internet on the genetics about it, but I do know what it is. It is pink champagne crossed with dosi dough. So we're going to dive into that with this little one-hitter throughout the episode.
Word.
As well. What are you thinking of this
head cheese? I like so that head cheese. I like that fucking the CBD balm.
Yeah, you put some of that on your shoulder, what, before we started the episode, right?
Yeah. I was fucking jet skiing a few weeks ago, and I hit some choppy water, fucked my shoulder up a little bit, just because, like, you know, because, like, you gotta kind of hold tight, because if not, you're fucking, you're going off. Like,
well, absolutely. Yeah. That's not what you want to be.
So, yeah, it was fucking, I don't know.
Where were you jet skiing at?
Laughlin.
Laughlin?
Yeah. Right.
I haven't been down there, actually.
It's pretty fun, dude.
I've heard it's nice.
It's like Vegas with a river for half the price.
I keep hearing ads on the radio for, like, the River Run Casino or something down there. I'm not sure.
Well,
you know what it is,
you know what it used to be, kind of more like a hidden kind of place where it was like more just like a family vacation spot, but Vegas has gotten a hold of it. We were staying at the Harrah's Casino, and it was all Caesared out, man.
So was it?
Yeah. Yeah. And they were trying to charge motherfuckers $200 for a little, like a, they called it their canopies, but in reality, it was a big-ass umbrella with two beach chairs. $200. $200. I was like, you guys need to chill the fuck out.
They're trying to get, like, the cabanas that you can get out here at the big boys.
Bro, they had, like,
boys.
Grass that was just caged off, and that was like cabana space. $250 an hour.
That's a little pricey, though. That's hilarious. It is.
But what's cool down there is there's pretty cheap jet skis. You can just load them straight up off the hotel beach there. You can just load them off and just ride off.
That's what it is like down in Florida. I've been there a lot, and they have, like, if when you go out on like places like Sanibel Island or on the Tampa Bay side, they've got a lot of restaurants that are right there. Then they'll have that same thing. They'll have like just the beach with jet skis right there. The restaurant rents them out. You can fucking go out. That's pretty cool. I should head down there. Take the kid down there or something. That'd be pretty
cool. It's a cool little spot, and it's really fucking hot there. Like, you think Vegas is hot? Dude, like, it was... last week was like 90 here, right?
Yeah, 95 or something.
Yeah, over there it was 110.
Ooh, still?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Yeah, we've kind of turned a corner here in Vegas. It's getting in my favorite time of the year here in Vegas, honestly, is what, for everybody else, I guess, is the fall. But for me, it just feels like summer light.
Well, I've fucking lived here my whole life, so it's like I've kind of gotten used to the heat at this point. I'm just like,
the heat doesn't bother me. I came from Colorado. It's been like 6 years now.
You know what really bothers me about out here is the dry cold. I can deal with rain. I would much rather deal with snow. But fucking dry cold with that dry wind. Dude, I fucking hate it.
Now, see, that's a
term. You ever get windburn, bro?
No.
It's worse than sunburn.
Really?
100%.
I don't know about this windburn.
Dude, because it hurts your fucking face. It doesn't like...
I know what it is,
but you don't really get windburn on your fucking body. You get windburned in the face.
Yeah,
you
get in your face.
Fucks your eyes up.
Your ears, probably.
Your nostrils up. Your lips. You're all chapped up, dude.
Yeah.
You're fucked up for like 5 days, 6 days.
Fuck. I'm going to hit this pink do-si-do while we're smoking this.
It's because it's so fucking dry out all the time. You don't get no humidity out here. I don't give a fuck what time of winter it is. Unless it's raining, there's no humidity in the air.
Well, that's why I don't mind the heat out here. And I know it's the biggest cliche. Oh, but it's a dry heat. But, dude, seriously, it makes a whole difference.
Imagine how sick it would be here, though, if like we had a beach or something.
Oh, God.
It would make Vegas the sickest place ever.
I almost moved to Cali because I wanted that beach so bad. But
dude, I think
it's only a four-hour drive.
Yeah.
We can be at Venice Beach in 4 hours, roughly, depending on the traffic. Once you get into the greater LA,
if you fucking hit it early as shit, I've gotten it like I've left at like 3 a.m. and got there at 7.
Yeah,
but then what the fuck do you do at a beach at 7 a.m.?
Well, you know, grab some breakfast, get some weed, smoke up, get some caffeine in you. What do you think of this do-si-do, man? Did you hit this too?
Yeah. I'll do that.
We'll make the trade here.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah, they're still fucking hitting on there.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, shit. I don't know what I grabbed the lighter for. Habit.
All right, so let's dive into the unfortunate events that happened at UFC
we'll let
Mexico.
You know, like we said, folks, we'll let you know next week our thoughts on some of these hemp fusion products and maybe take a look at some of the other things they have to offer as well. Yep. In the meantime, if you got some weed, fire that shit up let's talk about some fucking mixed martial arts. Man, so we're coming off UFC Mexico was the last card, which was a lot of anticipation about that main event, my friend Paul.
Fuck, man.
And then, man, it's just an unfortunate incident.
You know what it was? It's every time anyone says, this fight has no chance of being boring.
Yeah. There's a chance of getting no contested right out. It was
Fuck, man.
Bit of an eye scratch, basically. Ruled an eye poke.
Yeah, strange.
More of a scratch.
Yeah, it was weird.
Either way, Steven's eye was jacked up. He couldn't open it.
Like, seized up on him. It was strange.
Yeah, he got a scratch on his cornea. Whatever.
I don't think I've ever seen that, though. Like, even I've seen guys like Bisping's had some really nasty eye problems. And a lot of guys like that. And, you know, countless cuts and swollen eyes and shit like that.
Yeah,
but I've never seen someone's eye who has not been hit at all in the fight get
he got, like, raked down the face.
Yeah, get, like, pawed at and then completely seize up. I've never seen that.
It was odd, but it was a real bummer.
And obviously, I'm not saying he's faking it at all.
No, there are some
strange
people trying to advance that narrative, but that's nonsense. These are professional fighters. He didn't wait. I mean, the guy spent $30,000 on a fight camp and moved to Mexico for 6 weeks prior.
Yeah.
He didn't get in the octagon and, what, Yair threw one kick and he was like, oh, shit, I can't do it. I have to fake my way out of this. Like, I mean, that's silly. These are professional.
That's just ridiculous.
We're not fucking... We're not even going to entertain that.
I'm not going to entertain that, but I'm just saying it was a very strange.
It was strange. Yeah.
Strange situation.
Undeniably a strange scenario. A bummer. Yeah. Luckily, he seems to be long term fine. Hopefully, they'll get this fight rescheduled.
Which even adds to the strangeness, though. He just said that he's cleared.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like if you got poked severely in the eye, you might be seeing double for 2 hours, but then you're fine.
Yeah, I guess. You know. That's just strange.
It was unfortunate.
Strange.
Then we had the co-main event of Alexis Grosso versus Carla Esparza, which is at the 115.
Yep.
strawweight division where we saw Esparza survive a really nasty armbar to get the decision.
Well, victory. You know what? It was a real back and forth fight if you really look at it as a whole. In the first round, it was a lot of technical striking by Grasso and solid grappling and takedowns from Carla. I really think round one is really where you decide who won the fight. Because very obviously in round two, Carla was dropped and she was put into a bad spot. Or no, that was three, I'm sorry. In round two, it was back and forth as well. So I don't know, man. The first two rounds were iffy. And then the third, I think it really just depends on how much you value striking compared to grappling. Is yeah. really how you see who won that fight. You know?
I had Esparza winning. But I wouldn't have been mad if they had Grasso won. I think you could make a case like you just said either way.
Shit. If you really think about it, that round three could have been a 10-8.
Could have been, maybe.
She dropped her. She hurt her multiple times. And then fucking damn near broke her arm.
Carla's pretty flexible.
Holy shit. Jesus. She's quadruple jointed. Yeah. Like, dude, her arm was completely, like, all the way hyperextended. And then some. Like,
I mean, like, what kind she of was points at a, does she get she
was
for
at,
hanging on?
She was at a 1 o'clock, dude. That's where she was yeah. at.
For real.
The wrong way, though.
Other than that, I mean, there was the fight before that ended in a draw. So you could see...
You could see where the built-up frustration of the
fans. Yeah, because the crowd kind of was a bit of a disappointment. I mean...
It's unfortunate what happened, for sure.
Jeremy Stevens got pelted with items from the crowd. Carla Esparza, for some reason, I don't really understand, got beer poured on her. And I mean, on one hand, I get it. These are people that paid money to go watch other people fight in a cage. Okay, this isn't your traditional
sport. I think
the
Brandon Moreno draw was so fucking ridiculous, too.
You gotta
did
be
you
better
see
than that, though.
Did you see the Brandon Moreno fight? Yeah, Moreno, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like, yeah, the other dude had his moments, but I thought Moreno was winning that fight every fucking round.
Yeah, I was really blown away by that as well. So I get, you know, you had the series of things that culminated with, you know, the main event where they were booing excessively, I understand. Throwing items at athletes, I can't condone it. I get it. On one hand, I get it, dude. But you can't. I mean, if you want to get really fucking technical, pouring a beer on Carla Esparza is assault or battery or something. That's some pussy shit. Like, so you're going to press charges for that. That's some pussy shit. But I'm just saying, it has no place. Like, that's why we boo. That's why you yell. That's why you scream. Call our fucking names. Do whatever. But don't pour fucking beer on people. Don't throw items at.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
It's not like football
that was
players.
Savagery,
like football players
though,
get
dude.
That
Holy
shit too when
shit.
They come out of the tunnels. Like that used to happen. Like the Raiders are about to come here, right? Yeah. You and me are both fucking hardcore Broncos fans.
Yeah, fuck
well, you
them.
Know, fucking back in the day, and probably even recently, I don't know, but Broncos, they go into black hole. They get pelted with batteries and all kinds of shit. But these people are wearing full goddamn football gear. They got helmets. Yeah. They got pads.
Where the fuck are people getting all these batteries
saying?
At?
And still, that's fucked up. But at least those people are fully armored.
Yeah.
Like.
Where are these people getting batteries? How are they getting into stadiums with batteries on them?
Dude, we're talking about Raiders fans. Maybe they're sticking them up the...
Oh, God.
The old jailhouse wallet, man. Sneaking it in.
Oh, God.
At least we get to see our beloved Broncos once a year in person.
Too bad they fucking suck.
God, it's been a rough fucking year. Thank God we don't got to come on the podcast and spend an hour talking about the Broncos. Fuck. Anyways,
I'll tell you the whole podcast right now. They suck.
They suck. Sucks to be a fan right now. But hey, and the rest of the card, I mean, the spinning back fist KO was pretty dope.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. But he's not really.
Angela Hill had a win. It's good for her.
Yeah, get back on track.
She needs a win. Get back on track. I've always liked her.
Yeah,
a little straw weight from that
tough
season. And there's not a lot of really other standout fights on the card, to be honest with you. What did you think?
It was a letdown for sure.
Absolutely.
I don't know what else
to say.
Let's
hope that
shit
gets rebooked, and let's move on to the next upcoming UFC card, which is UFC Denmark, which has a fight on the top that I like a lot. A co-main I liked a whole lot, but then, man, we had an injury?
Yeah.
Is he injured? Is that what it
is?
Yeah,
I think so.
But... It's a decent replacement. You and I have had the pleasure of seeing
Gilbert Burns
up close and in person at the Black Belt CBD Invitational, which you happen to be wearing that shirt of right now.
Oh, strange. And, that was not planned at all.
Yeah, so super nice guy. I believe he won that event that night. Did as he? Well. Yep.
Word.
And
but let's start the at the top.
Yeah, let's start back up at the top. We got Jack Hermanson.
Jack Hermanson was fucking looking great in his last fight, coming off a huge performance against a guy who's coming off another huge performance in Jerry Cannonier, who's been on a real fucking tear too.
Yeah, this is an exciting
fight. This is a good fight here.
Like Hermanson's last, he KO'd Sousa.
Yeah, he fucked him. No, he didn't. I don't think he KO'd him. I think he won.
TKO'd him?
No, I think he won a 5-round decision, 50-45.
I can't remember. It's been a minute since his last fight, and we haven't heard anything about it. Let's look that up, but this is going to be a fucking good fight.
But all I remember is him just putting the work on Jacare, man. So, and then you look at Cannonier, a guy who's got tons of power. He's got great size for the weight class. He's fought in three different weight classes in the UFC.
Which is amazing.
Which is crazy. He
came in super heavy and has been steadily
but now he's fucking hooked up. He's jacked and he's looked really good in his last fight against Anderson Silva. Fucking damn near broke his leg with a fucking inside leg kick to his thigh. It's not like he hit him low. Hit him in the thigh and he couldn't continue. That's fucking intense.
That's wicked right there. Yeah.
Guy's got a lot of power. But the question is, this is going to be one of those fights where you're going to see a guy like Hermanson, who's a volume striker, who's just going to be there all day and really see if he can stand and really hang with a guy like Cannonier. But then again, Hermanson has some great fucking grappling
as
well.
Yeah, you're right. It was a decision, a unanimous decision, but it was dominant. Like, he was not.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 50-45.
Yeah. And that was the first time we had seen him since he KO'd Weidman, Jacare.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's coming in off that.
Well, that was supposed to, remember, it was supposed to be Jacare and I want to say David Branch or something like that. And one of them had backed out. Or I don't know. It was a different main event. Hermanson was like a last-minute fill-in.
Yeah, it was David Branch, I'm pretty certain. But either way.
It was a last-minute fill-in, and then he came in, and it was supposed to be kind of Jacare's fight in between before his title shot, you know, because he had just beat Weidman, and everyone was like, oh, he's right back in the title picture. And then the Adesanya fucking fight happens, and everyone's all right. Well, then Jacare is after Adesanya, and then he goes out and loses to Hermanson. So you got to really look at that and be like, how close is Hermanson to a title shot right now? You know, you got Paulo Costa waiting in the wings. So let's say these two go and put on a fucking fight of the night candidate, and one of them, you know, just has a little bit more in him, gets the finish. Where do you think that puts them in the division right now?
Well, that would put Cannonier, let's say him, because he's coming off of, he lost to Dominic Reyes, TKO, and then he lost to Jan Blachowicz before that, TKO.
Yeah, those are both light heavyweight
fights. But then he drops down, right? And he fights David Branch, TKOs him, and then he fought Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
And he TKO'd by leg kick, like we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And if he beats... How is he not next after Costa is what I would figure. And I would figure the winner of this fight. Cause
you think he gets a fight in between if he beats Hermanson, though, that he'll have to like prove himself probably one time? Because now what the fold in the division is here is now you got Darren Till in the mix, and then you also have Kelvin Gastelum, who was just a fight away from the belt as well.
Yeah, so well, then comes out if, and makes a strong statement.
So let's say Till comes out and he sparks him just real quick, comes out and puts him out. What the fuck do you do then? I think you would have to do Paulo Costa and Darren Till, because I feel like if Darren Till comes in, he's a big enough name and he's a big enough sell in the UFC in general that if he inserts his name with a victory, a dominant victory over the guy who had the belt the guy backed out of the fight, like Kelvin was literally fighting for the belt. He ended up fighting for the interim belt, but he was fighting for the real belt
right at first. He was fighting for the real belt at first, yeah. And then
unfortunately, Whitaker had weird intestine.
Yeah,
he had
a crazy intestine hernia fucked up thing.
So basically, you look at it, a guy who pretty much was kind of robbed of his title shot by an up-and-coming star. If another up-and-coming star comes in and beats him in more spectacular fashion... What does that say about Darren Till? Was it always the weight? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be some serious questions answered about this division in the next coming months. Because you got this fight here. This will kind of decide who's that guy who's going to be like the waiting in the wings for the title shot. But then you have that fight in November and also the fight in October where we're going to see who's the real champ, you know? So, like, the middleweight division is so exciting right now. Like, this whole end of the year, this whole chunk of the end of the year.
It's almost like a mini tournament.
Yeah. If you really look at it, because you got Hermanson and Cannonier here. Next week you got, or not next week, but the week after, on October 5th, you have Adesanya and Whitaker going at it. So then you're going to get an idea of who the champion is.
Right.
Depending on how competitive that fight is, you're going to see if Paulo Costa is going to be able to step in and fight the champ quick, or is the champ Gordon? This Robert Whitaker is known for going to war, and as we saw in Adesanya's last fight, he's not scared to go to war either. So if both these guys get into a 5-round war, neither of them is fighting again until mid-February, you know? So
this could play out.
This all could play out for these guys that are underneath. Like, Paulo Costa already did everything he could do to put his stamp on where he is in the division. These guys coming in right now have a chance to really, like, you know, get a chance to one-up them, you know? And I think even if Jack Hermanson comes in and beats Cannonier and just, like, you know, real, like...
Dude, he'd have a pretty... That would be 5 wins in a row if he beats Cannonier. And then he would have taken out Jacare. He would have taken out Branch. He subbed David Branch.
Quick.
Yeah, real fucking quick.
Wasn't it like 16 subbed, seconds or something?
That, Gerald Meerschaert, I think is how you say his name. He TKO'd Talis Letes. Like, he's on a nice fucking run.
Yeah,
that's... Nice run. I'd like to actually see... I'd like to see either of these guys versus Paulo Costa.
Yeah.
Why you let the winner of Whitaker and Adesanya heal up a little bit.
Yeah. Which,
like, look, Whitaker's been hurt pretty bad every time he's defended that title. Every time he's fought for it, he's had to take a lot of time off. Not knocking him off. He's fighting beasts, but he's fighting.
And then you look at Adesanya, who's fought, what, 9 fucking times in the last 2 years. If he wins the belt, he's going to take some time. He's going to take his time that he needs. He's not going to rush himself into a defense.
No, I don't think so either. Then, of course, he could surprise us all and defend in 3 months.
He could, because that's the kind of guy Israel Adesanya is, though.
He's a fucking savage.
At the end of the day, he's down to fight whenever, whatever, as long as the numbers are right. And for him, it seems like the numbers are continuously right. He's really turned himself into a big star. He could really, if he can win next on October 5th, if he can pull that out, dude, we're talking like... one of the best runs of all time.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to McGregor, if you think about it. Because McGregor came into the UFC, sparked a few people, became kind of a shit talk. Well, more obviously not kind of a shit talker. I mean, Adesanya is kind
known
of...
For no, his no, mouth.
I'm saying Adesanya is no, kind of a shit talker, but yeah. You know, like, though. Just took just the fights on the injury, short notice, all that shit, and then... Fights gets his title shot pretty much taken away from him. Fights an interim title. Now is his chance to become the superstar of the UFC if he goes out and fucks Whitaker up. Imagine how big he would be if he does that. Because we're talking attendance record possibly for a UFC event. Because it's in that same it's in the same arena that it was set in last time. So who's to say we're not gonna hit that again? You know what I'm saying? This could be huge for his brand. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? And same thing with Whitaker. Like, fuck, man, this would... If Whitaker comes in there and fucking just beats Adesanya's ass, dude, that is just going to add to the freaking legacy, you know, of where he puts
Very
himself.
Very important fight all the fucking way around.
Because if you really think about it, all the big fights that have happened in the middleweight division have been around Robert Whitaker, but not all of them have included Robert Whitaker. There's been a lot of times where, like GSP, if GSP would have fought Robert Whitaker, that would have been a fucking scrap.
Man, yeah.
But then again, who knows? Because then GSP said that added weight made him sick and all that stuff. So
right.
You know. I don't know.
GSP.
You know what I'm saying though? Like. This whole division is so fucking interesting right now.
It is. It's a good time in the fucking middleweight division, which a lot of people are happy about, myself.
Everybody has a shot, too. That's the thing. Everyone in the top 10 is like, there's, what were we saying a few months ago? Everyone in middleweight's fought each other, but now we've got some fucking names in the mix. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, things have been turning around real nicely in that division. I was going to say a lot of people are happy about that because myself and you included, because we, after, you know, Anderson reign was ended by Weidman, and then Weidman was just kind of cut short, it seemed. Like, yeah, I expected Weidman to last a long time.
I did too. And then Rockhold just came in thing, there.
And then Rockhold just kind of fizzled, and then it's like,
then Bisping, the
division's just been kind of like,
and then Bisping crazy. Was like taking Bisping. All these weird fucking title fights. Yeah. Like, he fought Dan Henderson when Dan Henderson was ranked, what, 11th in the division?
I think it was 9th.
Something like that. Yeah. But it's crazy.
It was a weird scenario.
He was coming off a 3-fight losing streak and then beat Hector Lombard, and they gave him a title shot.
Yeah.
Because remember, he lost to Daniel Cormier. He lost, he lost like really bad fights where people were like, damn, Dan Henderson should hang him up. And then he fucking beats, he beats that fool, and then fucking, and that was a back and forth fight too. So it's like, what is going on with that? And yeah, now we have like legitimacy. Turbulence.
And now, now it seems like we got some interest and some real contenders and fresh faces. They're all fresh fucking faces, which is good.
Like, I could see, I want to see Yoel fight some of these guys too. I'd like to see Cannonier and Yoel. That'd be a big fight.
Yeah, it would.
Real big fight. Mm. That would put Yoel right back where he was. How many
years do you think this guy's going to stick around, Yoel?
Forever. He's
fucking, what, 41 now?
He's 22.
He's 97?
He's 22 years old.
153 years old.
He's 12. You ever seen Benchwarmers?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he's like...
He's a fucking ringer.
That's
he's a fucking Cuban ringer.
Yeah, dude, that's Yoel. He shows up with fucking... Well,
got a fucking $20
bill, a fucking paper that says I'm 12.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, all right, Yoel.
What about that fucking co-main event there up in Denmark? I've always been a fan of Gunnar Nelson. I think he's had some rough times lately.
He's fucking funny, dude. That training video he put out was hilarious.
Dude, it's funny because he seems so stoic. Or he is so stoic.
He is, but he's so octagon, goofy at the same time. He is
in real life, like, super fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
But he's the fighting tough late customer Gilbert. Gilbert Burns.
Gilbert Burns.
Jiu-jitsu battle here.
This could be a real solid. I would like to see this fight go to the ground to really see where both guys are. They're both
world-class jiu-jitsu fighters.
Yeah, Gunnar's tough, too.
Yeah, Gunnar's real tough. And he actually has hands.
Yeah, he is. And so does Gilbert, though. Gilbert's got some good fucking striking. He's really started to round off his game.
Yeah, he was. That's a good fight.
Yeah, for real.
Even with the replacement, that's a good fight. I'm excited for it. I like both guys, but I'm just a Gunnar Nelson fan. He needs a win here. I think he got robbed versus Leon Edwards in his last fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, then he had a win before that. And then, of course, he got his fucking 4 eye pokes in 20 seconds from Santiago. And, lost that fight.
Well, you know what's weird is Gunnar's always kind of hovered at that, like, yeah,
he
beat
Alex Oliveira. That's right. He subbed Alex Oliveira.
Yeah. Well, he's always been in that, like, weird 7 to 10 ranked in the world ratio. Like, he's, like, win some, lose some kind of guy.
It seems like if he could string it, I don't know why he wins and loses. It seems like he has a lot of talent and he could put some shit together and make an actual title run, but it doesn't really seem to happen.
Undefeated for a while until he fought Damian Maia.
Yeah, and Maia.
It was kind of a brain fuck because he got dominated in his own game in that fight.
Yeah, he looked Maia really bad.
Fucked him up.
It might have because that was not even close. People were really excited for that jiu-jitsu match.
That was supposed to be Gunner's like coming out.
Not show up for that fight.
No, he did not at all.
Because I don't think Maia's outskills him by that much. I mean, Maia's skilled, obviously, but I think Gunnar also didn't show up that night. Like,
It's possible
for whatever reason.
I think they run that back now. I think Gunnar probably wins it.
Yeah, I would say so. Gunnar might fucking fuck him up because his hands are a lot better now.
Yeah. All right. Well, one I didn't write on here, but Charles Oliveira is also fighting on this card against Nicholas Dalby. This guy who tied Darren Till back a couple years ago.
Is he?
A tough motherfucker. Yeah. Dude, this fool got fucking rocked by Darren Till for like a round. Like, it was like 10-7. I could have been like, he got knocked down so
Remember
many times.
Remember that fight.
And then he came back and just put it on Darren Till after, obviously after his injury, but. Still.
Well, let's circle back about Darren Till. You brought him back up for a second. What the fuck happens to Darren Till if he goes out there and gets fucking beat by Kelvin Gastelum? That'll be 3 in a row. What if he gets KO'd by him?
I don't know if it really matters, though, because it's like...
Coming off the KO to Masvidal. And then the fucking before that, the
Yeah, but how can you really say he's not a world class fighter if he's going in and he's fighting world class opponents every fucking night? He's not fighting people. He's not fighting warm ups. He's not fighting chumps. He's not fighting the number five.
I'm not saying he's fighting the two or one. Like, like maybe
he's got to take a step back in competition. I don't know, man. But
that's not even a maybe at that point. I think he should have now, and then he signs up to fight Kelvin Gastelum.
But.
Like, Dana White was like, we rushed him, and then he's like,
you cannot,
now we'll have him fight Kelvin.
But here's the, you cannot deny that his loss to Jorge Masvidal is aged a little bit better with Jorge Masvidal becoming the guy he is now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to fire up this, what is this,
the banana OG. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just like how people said for years how Conor McGregor was babied, and then you look back and Conor McGregor fought some of the best featherweights in the world. And lightweights in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's the same thing. It's like, oh, well, Darren Till, he's won some, lost some, but he has fought everyone.
Well, if he loses here, he definitely needs to take a step the fuck back.
Well, what's a step back at middleweight? Nothing. Nothing is a step back at middleweight right now.
Fight somebody unranked, maybe. Fight some 10, 15 ranked dude.
Nah, he's still got to fight somebody serious. I think if he wins the fight, fuck Cannonier, fuck Hermanson, I'd like to see him and Paulo Costa run it.
Ooh, man, I don't know. This would be interesting. Interesting shit.
Costa and both him will throw hands. I'm curious to see what Darren Till's chin looks like at middleweight because it's funny.
He's been draining himself terribly.
Exactly, but and here's the funny part, though. Here's the funny part, though.
To take a shot, everybody.
Here's the funny part is he fought some guys at welterweight that were middleweight size, like Tyron Woodley probably could fight middleweight if he wanted to. And like my point is that if he were to go up and just be hydrated and like going, I think he doesn't have a bad chin because he never had a history of having a bad chin. He got knocked out by two fucking knockout artists. Like,
yeah, just to refresh everybody's mind, you know, everybody listening, in case you don't know, Darren Till is a man who recently, within his last few fights, cut weight so badly that he went blind from cutting weight. So, yeah, and it's scientifically proven that, you know, clearly if you're dehydrated, you're going to get knocked out easier. So, he could, you're right, have a much better chin at 185.
For real.
Well, we'll get a lot of these questions about Darren Till answered for sure in this next fight. So, another fight on the upcoming Denmark card that I like is a Khalil Rountree.
Yeah. Khalil Rountree coming back. Now we're talking, I think, a year and a half.
He's
been
out
in Thailand.
Yeah.
So.
That's a tough fight right there.
It is. Fucking see, man. I mean, Rountree is, he's definitely starting to put together a real serious Muay Thai striking game. His fucking leg kicks are disgusting.
Yeah, he would only, like his last fight, from what I understand, he had moved to Thailand part-time to train down there. Then
against Eric Anders?
He looked like a whole brand new guy.
Oh, dude.
Like,
it was like disgusting to watch.
It was seriously, my legs were hurting the next morning just from watching the fight. You know, that type of shit.
Well, you know what it was?
He's moved down to Thailand full-time. He's fighting, how do you say his name? Ian Kutaloba?
Yeah, sure.
I think so. I'm probably butchering that. Sorry, man. But that's the dude that dresses up in green, right?
Like yeah.
The Hulk? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, he paints his whole fucking shit green at the weigh-ins. Whatever you got to do, man.
Do what you got to do.
But that's a tough fight. That dude's a beast. I remember I've seen him pummel plenty of fucking people.
Yeah, Rountree's. So. And this is, you know, this is more of just like a measure of his game at this point. You know what I mean?
I'm expecting him to come out and look like a fucking champ.
Yeah, he's probably going
to
win.
Seriously. He might be able to actually fucking really go somewhere in this division if he keeps improving this way. But, you know, as a quick aside, we are smoking this banana OG right now. This is awful.
It's banana hoji.
This is not a good joint.
Yeah, it's grody.
Oh, my God. It's so harsh. Oh, both of us are like sore throats and coughing through this fucking thing.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Dude, this is some really dry weed. Man. Man, oh, man, oh, man. That's the thing, man. You can't fucking sell joints for like $16-$17 plus with tax.
Fucking.
And then have it taste like shit like this. It just tastes like shit.
And it's like packed so fucking tight. It doesn't burn as well. Oh, actually, that one's burning well.
Well, it's burning well because we loosened it. Jesus, dude. I was trying, man. We didn't cough one time through that first joint. I can even barely hit that fucking thing.
The first joint was nice.
Man. I hate it. I hate it when you get bad weed. I got to tell you, folks, that's a problem. You know, here in Vegas. Way more so than... I used to live in Colorado, so I visited plenty of dispensaries out there. So I'm sure people have in other states as well. We do have good weed here, but we also have a lot of shitty fucking weed. Like this... This is no good, man. This is clearly some leftover fucking dried up shake. Oh my God. I really don't want to hit this. We got some of that pink dosey dough.
Yeah.
Like, good God, man.
Wow. That Polaris head cheese, though, that was good.
The Polaris head cheese was on point that we started the show with. This banana OG, I'm going to write this off as an aberration because I know the company this is from. They put out good product. This ain't it. I'm not going to put them on blast. That's some that's no fucking good, man. Holy shit. Wow.
But you know what is you know what isn't too good?
What's that?
What's going on with Colby Covington?
By what's going on, you mean that now the title fight with Usman is off. All reports are pretty much saying that he refused the fight.
Do you hear what the new reports are possible, too? That
due to finances. Woodley. He said they offered him less than when he fought. Well, let's get the whole story out. According to Colby, he was offered less money to fight Kamaru Usman for the unified title than he was offered to fight Robbie Lawler on short notice, a fight that he took with a bad cut that we all saw that was in hidden with makeup by a fucking makeup artist in order to get by the commission. He went out, he whooped ass. I mean, let's put his controversial persona aside for a second. That's what he did. I mean, his persona, we can all agree that that happened. Yeah. He took Robbie Lawler on short notice. He did have a nasty cut above his eye that was hidden with makeup. He went out and put on a hell of a performance against a really tough dude and whooped his ass from pillar to post for the most part. And then he says he's offered less money to go ahead and unify that interim belt that he's holding against Usman. He decides that he's worth more, refuses the fight, and then he proceeds to get lambasted in the media because a lot of people hate his persona.
Well, they took his belt away.
We don't need to argue about his persona on this portion because that just boils down to what people like or dislike in their personal fucking
shit. Yeah, I'm not talking about
his persona. But let's talk about, he's not technically the interim champ, although he is. I mean, you just can't be like, oh, you're the interim champ. No, you're not. Just like you can't. I mean, you can do it technically, but linearly, that's not how it works.
Lineal. So,
he is the interim champ, just like Holloway.
You're talking Ferguson, I mean. Lines here. Yeah. Lineal.
I just believe in the sporting aspect of this thing. We have to hang on to some small measure of it, right?
We're keeping it literally in here, all right?
So, at any rate, the facts of the matter are we ain't getting that fight, at least not now.
Where it is.
It was going to headline
MSG.
We
might not get this
now
fight
at
all.
Now we got the BMF title headline in MSG.
We might not get this fight at all. This fight has now been offered to Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, it's been so fucking long, which is not Colby Covington's fault. This instance is his fault. These delays prior to that have been on Usman's injuries.
And also has been offered to Leon Edwards.
Edwards?
Yeah, so now
I think he'd snap
that
up.
He's won fucking 12 fights in a row. What do you mean? Leon Edwards? He's won every fight he's gotten into
in the
last 4 years.
I'm not saying the sporting validity of it.
His last loss is to Usman.
I'm just saying that came out of nowhere because people were writing him off after after he got shunned for the BMF title.
Fuck that. They were never going to make a BMF
title. They were wanting that fucking Masvidal fight with Edwards. Edwards was wanting it at least. Yeah. And then Masvidal just brushed him off like, you know.
Leon Edwards keeps getting fucked over, man. That shit happened to him against fucking
He's a good fighter.
He was supposed to get the Darren Till fight. He got Gunnar Nelson. And then he was supposed to get the George fight. He ends up getting RDA. And then he was supposed to get the George fight again. And he's got nobody right now.
Oh, my throat still hurts.
But he might get a title shot. But he's fought Usman. And I don't know if we want to see that again. Because Usman pretty much dominated him.
Yeah. I don't. But.
But Leon's definitely gotten better. You can't deny.
No, Leon's a good fighter.
He's a good fighter.
He's on a hell of a streak, too. I think he's won, seven in a row in the UFC?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that. But at the same time.
Pretty sporty.
I'm thinking it's probably going to be Colby's going to figure this out, hopefully.
Well, they should just get it done. I think. Who doesn't think that? Put your fucking
love-hate
for Colby aside at the fighter breakdown. That's going to be a good fight. Colby Covington versus Kamaru Usman. Look at that butt. That's just pretty nice.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. I wouldn't totally dislike if they gave it to Woodley, though.
No, I don't dislike that either.
I'd be cool with it because Woodley was also one of the best champions in welterweight history. So
I love some fucking.
And Woodley. You're giving people Steve Bay rematches, and everyone's getting rematches now. So how's the guy?
Well, Stipe did something historic. Let's not just say it was for no reason.
Fucking okay. So did Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley held the belt for fucking six fights.
GSP was 10.
Still,
it's not the divisional record. Stipe had that. I'm not knocking Woodley. I'm just saying you were saying Stipe, my man, boy.
What I'm saying is
didn't do anything.
No, what I'm saying is the idea of Stipe being in the conversation of the greatest of all time is what got him his rematch.
Yeah,
and I think Tyron Woodley having his say to being the greatest welterweight of all time deserves his rematch.
You're right. I don't disagree with that at all.
Just because, I think he definitely just fucking fell asleep in the last fight because it's that just wasn't him, and you can't really attribute that to all Woodley's or fucking Kamaru's ability. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because Woodley is a much better striker than what he showed there. He was a much better wrestler than what he showed there.
Yeah.
He just looked flat.
Mentioned Gunnar not showing up for his fight earlier, and Woodley definitely didn't show up for the Usman fight. That was some, wow. So I don't have a problem with him getting that rematch. Colby's, that's the downside. Colby, you want to take a stand for your
getting paid more? There's so many options more at welterweight.
I applaud it, but on the flip side, the risk you take is they're going to make that Tyron Woodley fight.
There's about five people you can give a title shot to at welterweight. Right now.
Yeah, so
that's
it's not
the problem.
And people say, well, it's not just that Colby doesn't have a following or leverage or whatever they want to say. It's the fact that there's so many other options available to the UFC.
Well, in all honesty, too,
his bargaining power.
The BMF champion could be the welterweight champion after that.
Exactly.
Because I could very well see the way Nate Diaz has been working with the UFC lately that he wants it. And if he goes in there, smacks up George, and then steps himself into the picture for the fucking welterweight title. I really like his chances against a guy like Kamaru or a guy against Colby.
You don't think Kamaru would just wrestle him nonstop?
Fucking
him
try.
Him and Colby would be a good fight. I like that.
I don't think Kamaru's his ability on top is going to be good enough to just dominate Nate Diaz on top like he does other people. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to be able to just wrestle him down and hold him down and just win on points. Nate Diaz is the same way how Tony Ferguson is. You're taking Nate Diaz down, Nate Diaz is either going to get up or he's going to give you hell while you're on top. You know, he's going to give you elbows. He's going to try to throw triangles and arm bars and, he's going to play guard. And fucking, I don't know if Kamaru's
submission game
is as good as his wrestling is.
Yeah, I doubt that.
You know what I'm saying? And I think Nate Diaz smacks him up on the feet.
I agree with that.
In all honesty, in that top five, I think Nate and George probably have the best striking.
If Nate really wants to, he could see a great career resurgence here because he's filled out so much. Like he's like his body weight and his body shape is just different than it was when he was younger. He's like 32 years old and he's lanky up. And now he's fucking filling out and he's solid and he's thick.
And he's got fucking gas.
And he's got this gas tank and he doesn't have this wear and tear because he's been chilling for the past 3 years. So if he really wants to make this resurgence right now,
this is the time. This is,
he's a very, very young fucking 30. Whatever he is, 31,
and I would, 30. I really think a fight with him and Colby Covington would be big.
Oh, I like that.
I think it could end in a lot of fucking altercations outside the octagon, though. I think you'd have to keep. I think you'd have to keep the fucking Diaz army out of there.
It would be very interesting because Colby, whatever you like about his shtick or not, it's fucking fake, right? Colby's shit is fake as fuck,
and Nate Diaz is real as it gets. Yeah. And you better fucking have...
That's what I'm saying.
You better be able to back those words up, whether you're fucking playing a game or not.
That'd be pretty interesting. I like that fight.
Because one thing about, like, don't get me wrong, Colby's a tough motherfucker too, but there's been times where he's been pressed outside the octagon, and he's kind of laid and prayed and been like, I'm not doing this. We fight for a living in an octagon. Nate Diaz does not give a fuck. And if you don't get beat up by Nate Diaz, you might just get fucking sucker punched by fucking Gilbert Melendez or fucking Jake Shields or Nick, dude. Like, you know, I just think the same thing with like Colby and fucking George, dude. Like, that whole situation with their gym, it's, you know, we've gotten a whole nother level of, like, now we know it's real, but we kind of still don't know what it came from. But we know the beef is real now. So that just adds another layer to Colby's whole situation, you know? Because now you have a situation where, what if George goes in, beats Nate, and then steals Colby's title shot? That's going to create a lot of tension in that gym. And Dan Lambert is Colby's manager, but he is not George's manager. Mm-hmm. And Dan Lambert also owns ATT. Mm-hmm. So if they get into a situation like that, I wonder if one of them is going to be asked to leave the gym.
It's going to be some gym drama, possibly. I don't know.
That just whole, you know what I mean? Like,
adds to the story for
just
sure.
Just adds to it. And then at the same time, Dan Lambert's the one going out and negotiating these deals for Colby. So does that mean he's going to ask George to leave? You know? And then,
interesting to see how it plays out, but I don't think
I could see that causing a lot of issues as well for other fighters too if he were to ask George to leave. I think this whole saga is going to end up with Colby being asked to leave the gym, I think.
I don't know. We'll see how that shit plays out, though. I kind of doubt that, but maybe. I don't know.
You know what but I mean, though? Because, like, more. I feel like it would cause more uproar if they asked George to leave the gym, because then you have guys like Poirier, people like Amanda Nunes, and, like, a lot of other fighters that George trains with on a daily basis that aren't really in like, approval of, all we said Colby's persona aside, but just to bring that in a little bit into it, is like a lot of people in his gym also don't like his stick. Like, whether it's real fake to get him to where he is, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying a lot of people have come out publicly and said they don't like it either. Right. So then it becomes a gym issue, not just, oh, it's just two guys, they're fighting the same division, you know, one of them's got to leave because they don't want to end up training together or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I think it's going to end in one of them leaving the gym for sure.
It could very well. We'll see how it plays out. But another potential storyline that we have here that this kind of makes me think of is with the BMF belt. You know, you talk about the winner, possibly. We've talked about Nate or Jorge, both people involved in this discussion, possibly challenging for the title. What if both of them say, fuck all that nonsense, fuck Usman, and that's not the real belt anyways. This is the real belt, the BMF title. And Dana White can say whatever he wants about it being a one-off. Whoever wins that fight is going to keep saying they're the BMF title holder and they're going to call themselves that champ, especially if it's Nate. And Nate is one that could very likely give the finger and say, you know what, I'll take the next challenger for the real title right here.
You know what's strange? They've never really put out what weight class BMF title fight is at. What if both guys just happen to show up at 165 pounds?
Yeah, they're not going to cancel the fight. What, are they each going to donate 30% of each other's purse to each other?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly my point. Just show up at 165 pounds each and then just jump on the mic and be like, fuck 170. Mm. This is the 165-pound title fight. Come get it.
Did you hit this do-si-do, this pink?
Yeah, why do you think I'm coming up with these plans?
I know. This is so much better than that banana OG joint. Notice how we're not coughing and losing a fucking lung over here?
Yeah.
God damn.
But I don't know, man. I think that could happen. Nate Diaz was really, really pushing for that 165-pound division.
He could just
declare George has said it in the past that it was that he wanted to fight 165. I mean, Nate could have changed his tone a little bit because he is bigger now, but I don't know. Interesting.
These are all a lot of what ifs that we're talking about, but the fun thing is we'll see them all fucking.
What's crazy is we're only like a month out,
right,
from that BMF title fight.
Yeah, that shit's coming quick.
It's coming pretty quick. We're a week fucking out from the title fight for Adesanya Whitaker.
Did you watch that press conference for the BMF? That was kind of a weak press conference. I thought the funniest thing.
It was keeping it real goes wrong, pretty much.
Yeah. I had to laugh, though. When, what did you think the funniest question was? Because you know what I'm going to say. It was a dude that was like, he goes to Nate, I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, how can you be so tough? You're a vegan. Vegans are pussies.
And then he said some shit. Like,
and Nate was like, I'll be, like, whatever it was, like, it was such a terrible question
that
it was funny to me. Like, it was like, that's the whole
reason. Like, why'd they let that guy in there?
Like, I thought that was the
best
question.
Who gave that guy a microphone?
That, to me, was the highlight of the press conference.
And then he called it back
later.
Terrible
question.
He called it back later in the press conference, too. Remember, he was like, yeah, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's a vegan.
Right. That was it. That was the highlight of the press conference. That was pretty boring otherwise, because they both were like, oh, I respect him. And then they were just the same old media questions. So you need Conor to kind of spice up those press conferences, I guess.
Yeah.
At any rate, that fight is a month, what, 30 days away?
Yeah, about that.
Well, let's shift from a lot of what-ifs to a solid thing that we got lined up here in the UFC, which was yet another title fight added to that December 14th card right here in Vegas. It already has, Nunes fighting on it.
Yeah, Nunes, Jermaine Duranda, man.
Right, and now we've got Max Holloway defending the 145-pound strap against Alexander Volkanovski, who I kept trying to say his name last week. See, it's because I knew this was going to happen.
Is that who you were trying to talk about?
It was. But this is a good fight right here. This is solid. This is a very interesting title fight. Now, similar to Frankie Edgar, like Volkanovski is kind of like a smaller dude. I think Holloway's got a lot of height and reach on him, but he's got a machine.
Fucking power in those
hands.
And he's got power.
And he's got a gas tank. Like this is a good fight. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And the UFC is talking about possibly adding another title fight to this card, which being right here
also
in our hometown.
Also possibly adding someone named Conor McGregor to the card.
Yeah, Dana White came out and said Conor's fighting on December 14th, or he's fighting next year. And of course, being as that's at T-Mobile here, I think it's UFC 245, December 14th, T-Mobile. Yeah. We're hoping that that's here, clearly.
Yep.
But I kind of doubt it, to be honest.
I do too. Who's he going to fight? Justin Gaethje? Nah. Probably.
He's
Cowboy? After he lost to Gaethje.
Yeah, Cowboy.
Cowboy just... Everyone looked so good about 2 months ago. And now we're just like, oh, shit, dude. Stop taking so many fights, or you fucking idiot.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't get murked by Ferguson and then Gaethje back to back. You should...
Yeah, he beat the same old Al, too.
Yeah.
That was a fucking war as well. That was 5 rounds, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Went all 5 rounds. How you going 5 rounds, 2 months later, you get fucked up by Tony Ferguson, and then you're going to turn around a month and a half after that and then fight Justin Gaethje, who's got bombs in his hands.
Clearly.
And then...
I just don't know. But, hey, back to Holloway, Volkanovski. I think Holloway might have a real challenge here.
I think he might, yeah. I'm taking Holloway.
Yeah, I still think he'll win, but that opinion could change as this gets closer in
You're right.
mid-fight. Volkanovski, I wouldn't be sitting here shocked if he's if he fucking pulls off the victory.
I also would not be surprised if Holloway whoops his ass. Just being honest here.
We're just covering all the fucking bases with these guys. I'm not surprised. Whatever guy wins. Whatever guy wins,
not surprised, we can say motherfucker. We're right,
motherfuckers. I wish that was not a surprised. Bet we could go make. I'm Max. Betting on either guy to win.
Max is blessed.
Max is blessed. Volkanovski is fucking hungry.
Is he, though?
Seems to be.
Who shows up to... No, I'm just kidding. He showed up to that one fight, 145. That's pretty... He was ready
to
go.
Dude, he used to walk around at 205 pounds. That dude packs a lot of goddamn power. Yeah. He's got a frame that's used to lugging that around, and now he's... And he wasn't a fat fucking...
The issue is, I just feel like Holloway's got too much length. I don't think Volkanovski's chin has really been tested yet.
Well, he'll get tested in this fight.
That's what I'm saying. There's still question marks in Volkanovski's game. There's no question marks we have in Holloway's game.
Nope.
We know what he's got, and when he's, and normally every time he comes to the octagon, he's got a new wrinkle added to what he already has. You know? So, really, even though it's a quick turnaround, I think Holloway gets it done pretty handedly. I'm thinking...
I agree, Holloway, but I think it's going to be a decision. It's going to be a decision for Holloway.
Yeah, I can see it.
What about in the second title fight on that card? Are you going with Amanda or Durandamane? I am. A vicious beatdown.
You have to give me some time on that one.
But I've never been a believer in the Iron Lady's MMA skills. No, I'm going to be... She's okay, but I think Amanda Nunes is going to fuck her up.
I could see Amanda Nunes losing that fight.
Oh, my God. That's crazy talk. You have smoked too much marijuana in this episode.
I think
she... On that note, you're clearly higher than me. I need to hit this, I need to hit this pipe.
I could see Amanda losing the fight. I think Amanda's gotten a little too... Not cocky, but like a little too confident as a champion.
What would give you that impression? Was it when she KO'd Cyborg?
No, it's when she went out and actually risked herself. If she would have came out and fought a prime Holly Holm the way she came out and tried and fought Holly Holm in her last fight, she probably would have got slept. Because she's got to this point of domination in her division where she now looks at her opponent as a challenge. Rather than her just honing her skills and being the best, she now tries to go and beat people at where they're best at. And I feel like she if you try to go
John
out
Jones
there,
is what you're
that's
saying.
What I'm saying.
John Jones is notorious for that, but John Jones can do that.
Well, my point is, I think if you try to go do that and try to kickbox a Jermaine Durandamé, you're gonna lose.
I think you're gonna go out there and sleep her.
That's very possible as well. But I'm just saying, she's got to get out of this habit. She needs to just be the well-rounded fighter she's always been. She needs to stop fighting to her opponent's abilities to make it look like
I agree
to
with
make
that
her dominant.
If that's what she is truly,
because that's what
do,
she did. That's what she did
do.
Against Cyborg too. She stood and banged with Cyborg. It was
yeah, didn't she say
ridiculous.
Something after the fight? She wanted to do that with Holly.
Yeah, she was like, "Oh, I wanted to do that with Holly," but there was openings in that fight that a younger Holly Holm would have took advantage of.
But then this is also a fight that she won with a head kick, fucking KO.
Yeah.
So I think she's likely to KO Durandamane as well. As well, but hey, it's fucking fighting. We'll see.
Yeah.
How about a fucking another thing that we got semi confirmed? Like we don't have a date, and we don't have a venue, and we don't have signed fighters yet. But Dana is saying that they're working on DC versus Stipe Miocic.
Number three,
the rubber match.
DC came out and said he wanted it. Stipe said he's got to heal up, but he's down.
Yeah, Steve ain't going to turn that down. He ain't going to be like, oh, no, I'm going to go fight Brock.
I think he could fight John. I think John would be a much bigger fight than DC right now.
I think he might, just due to size, have a solid chance of beating John Jones. It depends on how.
Nah.
I have no idea how Jones would carry all this weight, but Jones' legs are so
Jones
fucking
is
little.
Fuck him up if they fight.
For me, it'd only be a size differential.
Jones' no. game is too well-rounded to lose to Stipe. Because he won't do what DC did. He won't stand in front of him and just try to put him away with every shot.
DC's a, I mean, we people say, oh, he beat DC and DC's the heavyweight champ. Well, DC's a very unique, he's a very uniquely built heavyweight. Most people would not be able to do.
Yeah.
It's,
I think
it's his athletic powers that make him so good, because he is fucking, should be fighting at middleweight. That dude should be 185.
And if you really look at it, I'd really want to see their exact measurables between Stipe and Jones. I'd imagine they have a very similar build.
Yo, Stipe's 6'4", I do believe.
You sure?
Yeah.
And what, Jones is 6'2"?
No, Jones is 6'4".
Oh, he's 6'4" also, so there you go.
I'm pretty sure, but...
And Jones is a long motherfucker, dude. I don't
have that info in front of me. I don't feel like looking it up. He's long and lanky. It's all hypothetical. He's long and
lanky, but it... Well, not really hypotheticals, because I think this is a real legitimate chance of this fight happening.
Dude, that's a big fight.
Instead of DC Stipe
3. I'd rather see it. I'd rather see that than DC Stipe 3.
Because John Jones has been going out talking about this big announcement to come out with. And unless it's Stipe, who the fuck is it? Because there's not really many big fights out there for him right now.
I've missed this. This has gone under my radar.
He's gone on Twitter talking about, I've got a big fight announcement coming up. Stay tuned.
When is he supposed to?
No exact time or date when he was going to fill us in on this, but that's what he came out and said.
Hmm. God, that'd be dope, especially if it was December 14th here in Vegas. That's a long shot, though. We probably got a better chance of seeing Connor than that.
I can see that happening.
UFC likes to load up these year-end Vegas shows.
When was that DC Stipe card? Was that a month ago? 2 months ago?
Yeah.
How long ago?
In between that. It was at least 30 days ago. Again, I could look it up, but I don't. It's irrelevant.
I think Stipe could heal up by December 14th, get cleared to fight, and have a training camp in that amount of time. The real question is, does he want to do it that quick?
See, Jones might do that because it doesn't put his belt at risk, so even if he were to take the L.
And there's some fights that need to happen before Jones can even fight a contender, because you got Corey Anderson, Johnny Walker. Now we have Jacare, Jan Blachowicz, who everyone thought Jan was going to get the title shot after he knocked out Luke Rockhold. So Jan has a fight with Jacare. You got Weidman against Dominic Reyes. The only guy who doesn't have a fight is Anthony Smith. And if Anthony Smith 2 is his big announcement, I'm going to be disgusted.
All right, John Jones is definitely 6'4". So I'm just checking. I might as well look it up. Stipe is also 6'4". Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, see, so I don't know, man.
Stipe's got an 80-inch reach.
I think Jones is 84.
Yeah, Jones has got the biggest reach in the game. He's 84 and a half.
Yeah. So, dude, we're talking the same size. Jones has a better reach.
Well, they're not the same size. I mean, Stipe's fighting at 240.
My point being, though, is if Jones fights a heavyweight,
and he's got
if he fights a heavyweight, he's going to be bodybuilder John Jones again.
You think he comes back? Bodybuilder John Jones, that thick motherfucker we saw on the Instagram.
His brother's on the Cardinals. They're 0-3, bro. He's got nothing else to do. He's going to start working out with John.
I'll be down with that. Let's keep our fingers crossed that we get something on that 14th card. And that'd be fucking dope.
Hopefully no picograms.
No picograms. But hey, let's fucking swing in now. We said we'd talk a little bit about boxing, and there's a couple of interesting fucking fights coming up. we do have the announced fight that came out of left field here. Let's talk about that one first, which is Canelo Alvarez versus Sergey Kovalev at light heavyweight, 175 pounds. That is
November 2nd, the same night as a BMF title fight.
What was Canelo's last weight? Was it 160? Yeah. It's the highest he's been. His last weight has been what, 160?
Super middle, I want to say. Did he fight? He fought Jacobs at super middle, didn't he? Or was it just middle?
I'll have to look it up here real quick, too. All these fucking, he bounces around so much. But that just seems crazy to me. That fight came out of left fucking field. He keeps shooting higher and higher.
He fought Jacobs in his last fight, who's got a big body style. I don't know, man. Kovalev's just big as fuck.
Yeah, his last fight was a middleweight.
Okay. going straight to light heavy, huh?
Just going right up.
175.
Of course, he was at light. He's fought at light middleweight.
Oh, he's fought. He's fought low. He's fought welterweight before, didn't he?
Yeah. I'm just scrolling through.
He's bouncing all over the place. And I think it is a legacy thing, because like earlier in his career, yeah. he fought Floyd, and you know, it kind of hurt his legacy, I feel like, because everyone kind of points that back to that fight as like what changed him. But it's like, it's a fight he lost, you know? And I think the other Triple G fight is still on the table after this, even if he were to beat Kovalev.
That'd be quite a feat. I mean, yeah, he lost a welterweight to Floyd. I mean, so many years ago now. It was fucking 2013. Or light middleweight, whatever you want to fucking call it. I mean, it's the same, basically the same with the fucking shit. But yeah, he's starting off his career at welter and going all the way up now to light heavyweight, which is...
Jesus.
Quite a swing, man. That's quite an interesting fight, man. I mean,
it's guess... It's crazy, though, because it's like Kovalev is also not the biggest light heavyweight. Like, imagine... Canelo versus Yard.
Dude, yeah.
Yard Air, whoever he's in.
Yeah, the guy Kovalev just fought, yeah.
That'd be a huge difference.
I don't know. I remember for our Slugfest magazine article, I do believe you picked that big Yard.
I did, dude,
to beat Kovalev. I, of course, picked Sergey to win in his hometown.
He just jabbed him to death. That's all he did. He just went and jabbed him to death. I feel like Yard... I feel like... However the fuck you say his name, Yard... he just went in there, and I feel like he didn't have the composure of, like... It was his first title fight. He's still up and coming, man. He'll be there. Just give him a couple more cracks at the belt.
If you thought that, you should have picked Sergey from the get-go, like your boy here. No, because
it could have been the birth of a star, and I couldn't pass it up. Can't pass up
possible history. That's why I'm currently ahead on the picks.
Who fucking cares?
Only because you're a little bit behind. Admittedly, it's like one fight. But I know. Hey. These little wins count.
And that's why I'm picking Earl Spence, dude. These little wins
fucking count. Yeah, that's the other fight we got. We got Sean Porter versus Earl Spence Jr. coming up next weekend, which we will be on.
Oh, wait. Go back, though. Who are you taking?
I think Kovalev is actually going to shock the world and beat.
I don't think that's going to be that big of a shock.
I know. I'm trying to hype it up. Yeah,
I think Canelo is going to shock the world and stop him in body shots.
It could happen. I mean, I think that's the safe pick, you know. And I don't blame you for taking
it's not
this,
the safe pick
the
at
safe
all.
Safe pick of Canelo, you know, the paper pick. It's like but picking. I think Sergey.
It's like picking Mikey Garcia versus Earl Spence.
Right.
Yeah, Spence. It's literally the like Spence. Equivalent. I think it could be very similar size-wise like that, too, because Canelo's not big.
So you're picking in the Porter fight. I'm picking Spence, too. I think it's going to be a great fight.
Don't sleep on Porter, though. Porter is game as fuck. Great.
I love him, dude. I love both these guys. I think either one could win. But making a pick, I'm picking Earl Spence Jr. He's just a savage. And yeah. I think he'll pull it out. I think it'll be a close fight. I'm really fucking looking forward to it.
And this is Earl Spence. Chance to really put his name on the map.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
That Bud Crawford fight is just getting bigger and bigger. We just gotta hope neither of them lose.
Exactly.
Because there's no way they're fighting each other next.
Maybe I can say that five more times. Exactly. Yeah.
That's what you gotta think, though, because it's like there's really no one out there that's really gonna push Bud, I feel like, especially where right now he's being with Top Rank? That's ESPN or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they just don't have the greatest roster that's really gonna push him. And I feel like Earl Spence right now is at a point where he can fight everybody. You know, he's got. Yeah,
I think I agree with that as well.
You know, he's fighting Porter now. He could possibly fight Pacquiao next. Maybe Keith Thurman. There's names out there that. He could add to his list that are just going to make that Crawford fight the biggest fight in boxing in a long time.
Should be fucking dope. Coming right up. We're going to be watching it for sure.
And you know what? How long can we have these guys on the pound-for-pound list right next to each other and not really find out who's the best?
Yeah, these things need to happen, for real. Absolutely. I just thought of something else. I haven't asked you about this. I've been meaning to before the show, but it just popped into my head. I think I heard, did Jordan Burroughs lose?
Yeah, he lost.
What happened with that? I just heard it. I saw Chael had a video titled Jordan that he lost, but I didn't watch it.
People are haters, man. Jordan Burroughs had the toughest bracket to get to the fucking finals of the world. Like, it's ridiculous. He has by far the toughest weight class.
Okay.
And he lost on criteria, so it's really not... I don't know.
What does that mean, lost on criteria?
So, in wrestling, you have... If it's tied, whoever scored last one.
Okay.
Or whoever had, like... Like, okay, so if you... I don't know. See, there's so many... At the world level, there's different rules, but... I haven't wrestled freestyle in a long time. So, I think... Well, at least when I was in...
It just came down to technical...
Well, no, okay, so, like... When I was wrestling freestyle as a kid, I don't know if this is the rule still, but like if you had two pushouts and the other guy took you down, the guy who took you down won because it's like a higher point move.
Okay, I see. They value that more.
Yeah. But it's also who scored last. Or like if you have a caution, you lose. Like there's in freestyle, there's like criteria that like is followed when it comes down to a tie.
So it's not like someone went out and beat his ass.
No, not at all.
It was incredibly close and came down to some technical differences.
Yep.
That the other guy.
And that's what it always is. At that level with Burroughs, that's usually what happens when he loses. He doesn't lose very often, but when he does, it's usually due to criteria. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, cool, man. Thanks for updating me and our viewers.
Also, that guy was like the first guy to ever beat Burroughs twice. He doesn't lose people twice.
Really?
That's what's crazy, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very interesting. Fucking bastard. That pissed me off. It pissed me off so bad. But then Kyle Dake won the world title, which was cool. He's going to wrestle. Him and Burroughs are probably going to be in the same weight for the Olympics, so the trials are going to be fucking crazy.
When are the trials coming up?
Shit, they got to be soon, I'd imagine, because it's 2020 in the Summer Olympics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shit, so I'd imagine probably pretty soon here. Well, maybe the start of this next year.
Sounds about right.
Or how much time is there between the trials and the actual Olympics?
I don't remember. I used to be on top of all that because when I was boxing, I was in Colorado Springs and the Olympic Training Center is right there. So our gym worked hand in hand, you know, helping fighters get ready, coming into town. People are training at our gyms. But it's been a minute now, and I don't fucking remember.
I imagine they have a good amount of time between the Olympics and the trials.
Because I imagine it's similar to boxing.
It's probably like 6 months before or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
But yeah, there's going to be some serious matches against guys like the best guy. Like, we're talking, we have some weight classes right now in the U.S. where we could have two Olympic champions. It really just depends on who beats each other. Probably three different weight classes that way. Because you got Jaden Cox, who could either... He's probably the best wrestler in the world right now, and he just doesn't get the credit because he's not Jordan Burroughs. I don't know. It's hard to say because like Jordan Burroughs became the face of wrestling, and then Jaden Cox has just kind of come in. He's won an Olympic title. He's won, I think, 4 world titles now. He won the world title the other day too. So I think he's won 4 world titles. He won a couple NCAA titles. He's a fucking monster. And he's the captain of the team. Him and Burroughs are. So it's very interesting time going into the Olympics here. Because, like, the way I've always kind of said this, the U.S. is kind of fucked up because the idea of winning in the U.S. is held at such a higher standard. Whereas everywhere else, it's if you lose, you better win. Continue winning after you lose. Like Russian wrestlers and all the other like Iranians, like all the best countries in wrestling, when they lose, they get third place, you know, or they lose in the finals and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like the US, like Jordan Burroughs, he got third this time, but like in the Olympics, the last Olympics, when he lost, he kind of lost all. Like, in his head, he wasn't going for gold anymore. So he had gotten injured, and he was done. And that happens to a lot of our wrestlers. Like, if they lose, and there's no chance at gold anymore, they kind of tend to fizzle out and just, like, fuck this tournament. kind of idea. So, like, a lot of times we lose the team race because we don't place as many guys. Because, like I said, if someone loses, they're like, ah, fuck this. And, like, so it's tough. Like,
sounds
so,
like it.
So, like, we will sure. have, like, a lot of individual success probably in this Olympics. But I'd imagine we lose the overall.
Well, I'm definitely going to be paying a lot of attention this year. I don't know. I pay in. I watch on the, you know, the headlines.
Yeah.
Maybe the finals.
Dude, but we got
this
a,
year
we
with
have
the
a
show,
and
you've really got my interest.
We got a squad.
That, so yeah. I'm going to be fucking checking that out too.
It's going to be sick.
Fucking sounds sick. I think that about wraps the show for today, my friend.
Yep. Sounds good.
Thanks everybody for tuning in. This is your first time listening to the show. We air on WBUZ 95 on radio.net and the Orange Radio app on Thursdays, 6 p.m. out here on the West Coast, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, soon to be Eastern Standard Time. And you can find all the information about us at WBUZ or WBUZ.com for the radio station, WBUZ 95.
Or you can head over to SWATMMA.com and check out everything you need to know or where you find us. Follow us on all your platforms. Like, subscribe, comment on YouTube. Buy a shirt on SWATMA.com.
And make sure you're smoking some good weed. Not like this harsh-ass
Don't
joint
buy
we had
bullshit.
Earlier. But like this good-ass pink dosey dough we're about to finish up.
The dosey, bro.
Later, everybody.
Peace.